Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Our YouTube listeners will get that. Our audio people will never hear it. You're going to ask yourself right now, what's he talking about? You'll never know. It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Nicholson.
That'd be a little weird.
That would be a little weird. I can't do Jack. I can't do him. I used to have a decent Nicholson, you know. I don't have him anymore. This rat.
There's Johnny.
There you go. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The reason I laugh there is Bunky Perkins talking about Diego Pavia just said, Wani football isn't going to go down without a fight.
Said what?
Wani football.
Wani?
Like Juan. Like he's Hispanic.
Oh. Gotcha.
Diego Pavia.
Nah, yeah. I get it now.
Yeah. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Whatever it is, maroon and white, they've got it at College Corner. And, of course, right now is the time to get stuff with the M over S on it as we get closer and closer to the start of baseball season. Everything you're looking for baseball season is right there, not only just for your attire, but if you're looking to make your left field lounge the best in the lounge, your spot the best in the lounge, go check out some of the great stuff they have on offer at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Got all this, you know, free time now. Your weekends aren't completely eaten up with college football. Make sure you're cooking out, enjoying the weather, and having some good times with you and the family, and do it with beef on the grill. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers, then talk to the good folks over at Priority One Bank, a bank that treats you with respect, a bank that knows you by name, not just by your account number. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. I didn't think we'd have another one of these after Thanksgiving Day, after the Egg Bowl, but we do. It is time to do 3 P's, preview, playmaker, and predictions for Mississippi State and Wake Forest in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. And Robbie, reading over your article, the Know the Foe article from On3. Some big losses here for the Demon Deacons. But I want to start with the guy who is going to be there, and that's Robbie Ashford. Now, you and I have watched this guy play football for a long time. I mean, I remember when State was recruiting him. Dan yep. Mullen. That's how long this guy's been in college, by the way. Dan Mullen recruited Robbie Ashford.
Went to Oregon.
Then he was at Auburn, then at South Carolina, and now here at Wake Forest. And kind of had the same thoughts with him that I had with Lynn Bowden when he was running the Kentucky offense as a Wildcat guy. Like, great athlete, can't throw the football, cannot do it.
Yep.
I'll give Jake Dickert and his staff full credit for turning this guy into a reasonably good college quarterback. He's completing almost 60% of his passes, 2,200 yards. 9 touchdowns to 7 interceptions is not great. Only taken 12 sacks in the season. He's also rushed for 504 yards. They finally tapped into whatever he had to offer, and they've gotten the most out of him and got 8 wins out of him.
End of thought.
End of thought.
My bad.
That's okay.
This is a guy that when he was at Auburn, the offense that they were running, which it wasn't a very exciting team with who was the coach then?
That was Harsin.
Harsin.
Yeah.
And if you remember, when they kind of just like took the reins off of him in that game in 2023 or 2022. When it, I think that that's when it was.
They played
had
a
pretty good lead, and he brought him back because he just kind of started running around.
Yeah.
State could not stop that. And so I'm sure Zach Arnett, they've leaned on him a little bit. I think he's been working some with the scout team and preparing the scout team a little bit. But I'm sure that he has been working with them a little bit. But that's a guy that was at South Carolina as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Zach Arnett knows a little bit about Robbie Ashford, and I'm sure Jeff Lebby and his staff have been talking about it as well with the defensive staff. And you look at Ashford, they're probably going to lean on him pretty heavy in this ball game. The running back's out for the game. He is declaring for the NFL draft. That's a near 1,000-yard rusher. He's rushed for almost 3,000 yards in his career. One of the leading active rushers in the ACC. A very swift guy. I think that he was clocked at over 25 miles an hour against Miami. I mean, this is a guy that could fly, and you lost that.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to turn to a backup running back, a sophomore that's rushed for just over 200 yards this year. It's going to be a little different for them, but I don't think they're going to change a whole lot of what they do offensively. They lost their top receiver as well. They're still going to be a team that I think is going to try to run first, and State has had a difficult time stopping that. Now, I don't think Wake Forest offense is as good as a lot of some of the offensive states played in the SEC.
Right.
When you look at the teams that have more mobile quarterbacks, Ole Miss, Arkansas, those teams, Tennessee, those teams are far better offensively than what Wake Forest is going to put on the field. But it's still a challenge for State, and they're going to have to get off the field defensively. And they don't have one of their leading tacklers in Isaac Smith in this game, or Tony Mitchell. So it's all hands on deck, and there's going to be some guys that you might not have seen a lot this year that's going to have to step in and make some plays for you. So it's a very big defensive ball game, I think, a good challenge for them with what Robbie Ashford kind of brings to the table. And he is not a guy that's just straight up running the football. He can beat you in the passing.
He's become more of a quarterback.
Yeah, and I think the main thing is teams get so drawn to what he does running the football that he can beat them on some big plays. So State's got to keep their head on a swivel here defensively.
Yeah, he really is like a poor man's Trinidad Chambliss in the way that he runs the offense for Wake Forest. By the way, their third string quarterback, what a name. Steel Pizzella.
Yes, I love that.
I mean, right now, if you told me that the new NXT champion, the guy who defeated Obafemi, was Steel Pizzella, I would absolutely believe you.
And still, Pizzella transferred to – I mean, he finished his college career, and he went to the WWE, and he's in NXT.
Yeah, he's in NXT now. So,
just like Obafemi did.
Yeah.
He was at Alabama.
Yeah. You mentioned Ty Clark. That's the sophomore running back that Wake Forest is probably going to have to lean on now that Demond Claiborne is off to the NFL. 58 carries, 232 yards, just 4 yards a carry. It's so interesting looking at this that, you know, you would think Robbie Ashford at quarterback that this would be a really run-heavy offense. It is not. Now, they run the ball a ton.
Pretty balanced.
Well, they're 419 rushes to 373 passes, but only 4.5 yards a carry. I mean, they're not exactly gashing teams on the ground. They're just consistent. They can move the chains. But they are a big play passing team, 13.1 yards per completion. But Barnes was a big part of that, 14 yards a catch for him. Chris Barnes, the receiver who's out. Carlos Hernandez is their one of their top targets who's returning. 34 catches, 538 yards, almost 16 yards a catch for him. Sterling Burkhalter, that's another good name.
That is an excellent name.
That's a really good name. That's a very Ole Miss
name. That's an Ole Miss name. Yeah.
25 for 382, and then Micah Mays Jr., 18 for 302. So it's a very wide receiver-heavy offense. Their top five leading receivers are wide receivers. Then you get to the tight end, Ina Falali. I could be right. 19 catches, 218 yards, a couple of touchdowns for him. Defensively, this is a really good squad. We're not just saying that, you know, they're good in the ACC. They're good nationally. They really get after it. 322 yards per game is all they're giving up. That's really good. They're really good against the pass. They top 10 nationally in tackles for loss per game. This is going to be a real challenge for Mississippi State offensive line that we know is not great. The good news for Mississippi State is they have a quarterback who can evade pressure now.
Yeah, I think that is a very big development. Is, you know, Kamario Taylor's in the, if this was Blake Shapen at quarterback, we would be talking right now about how difficult it's going to be for Mississippi State to hit plays because Shapen's not going to have time to throw. Mm-hmm. With Kamario Taylor, I think that changes. Their best pass rushers are on the defensive line. Mm-hmm. They have an edge rusher that has, I think, 17 tackles for loss. He's leading the ACC or second in the ACC, mm-hmm. has 7 sacks. Their other edge guy right behind him has 6 sacks. Mm-hmm. So a large chunk of what they do as far as their tackles for loss, which they're one of the best in the country at that, I think they're top 10, mm-hmm. a large chunk of that comes from their defensive line. So if Kamario Taylor can get into the second level, he's going to have a good shot. Now, they have a safety that's closing in on 100 tackles. He's a guy that's got, I think, almost 350 tackles in his career. So that's going to be a challenge. He's a guy that can come up and run support and help with Kamario Taylor. But having Kamario Taylor, having Fluff Bothwell and those guys, I think State is going to have a little more of an advantage than they would, or a lot more of an advantage than they would with Blake Shapen.
No doubt.
It could be a different-looking ball club with a month to prepare for this game.
And we've talked about it a little bit, but one of the things I'm interested in watching this game is, what does Xavier Gayton look like as your second, as now that he's locked in as your second running
back? He's getting the reps that Devon Booth was getting.
Exactly. So if he doesn't play well, it may change your strategy in the portal a little bit. You may look at it and go, well, we might need to go get another guy. But if he comes out and has a good game, then you feel really good about where you are with Gayton. We talked about Anthony Evans yesterday. Obviously, this is Brennan Thompson's last game at Mississippi State. I would love to see a guy like Aiden Williams have a game where he could, that could be a launching point for him next year. If he could have 5 or 6 catches in this game, I don't necessarily know that that's going to happen, but that would be a great thing for Mississippi State. This strikes me as a high-scoring game. I feel like, you know, State is, with Kamario, is going to be able to move the football, I think. And then Wake Forest against State's defense. I mean, Arnett hasn't taken over yet. These are still the same guys as before. I just think this is going to be, both teams probably in the 30s for this one.
It's like kind of what LSU's going through right now. Mm-hmm. When they went to their bowl game, like, oh my God, we got an offense again. And then the game happens with Houston. You're like, oh, I forgot we still have the same offense that we had all season.
It's going to take a little
so,
doing, yeah.
Right now, this is not Zach Arnett's defense. It's not going to look like Zach Arnett's defense. You don't have the players. You don't have the scheme. But with Arnett in the building, and you're putting a little more trust now in Mike McIntyre and Paul Rhodes, you know, those guys I'm sure were in the headsets with Coleman Hutzler and had an opportunity to talk it through with him. But at the end of the day, Coleman Hutzler was the one making the calls. Mm-hmm. Now it's kind of Matt Barnes, and then McIntyre and Rhodes are heavily influencing things. It'll be interesting to see what that looks like in the bowl game. So that's something to watch for sure. I think State, you know, I don't know what the strategy is in this. I would think probably try to contain Robbie Ashford.
Yeah,
and try to make sure that he doesn't get loose. I would feel better about forcing him to stay in the pocket. So maybe cut off his running lanes, force him to stay in the pocket and make throws down the field, or you kind of collect them, you know, keep him in front of you or whatever. But the goal has got to be to limit Robbie Ashford, because I just don't think there's enough weapons around them right now. When you take away the running back, that this is an offense that scares you as much as some of the other offenses you played in this league.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they're not going to have a lot of success against Mississippi State. I think that they can run the football. But I think the strategy is probably to try to contain Ashford as much as you can. And if he hits some of those big plays that he's hit, you know, tip your hat. But you've got to try to stop the run in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we've talked about State's got to stop the run, they got to stop the run. This is the only thing that this team does extremely well.
They've done the opposite. Yeah.
So let's see if with a month advance,
yeah,
if they can stop what they do fairly well.
That's going to be the key. I agree with you, stopping the run. This is a team that, you know, if you can bottle up Ashford and keep him in the pocket, he doesn't really scare you.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of his big plays come from him breaking containment and finding guys down the field. Just turning him into a pocket passer just ruins him.
Yep.
So, I agree with you. That's what State's philosophy has got to be. And like I said, the loss of Claiborne, it can't be understated. You're talking about losing a guy who almost rushed for 1,000 yards. You're not just going to replace him at this point in the season. All right, let's go down to this interview. We talked earlier today to Connor O'Neill. He covers the Demon Deacons for Deacons Illustrated, an On3 website covering Wake Forest. Talked to him earlier today. Let's get his thoughts. All interviews here on Thunder and Lightning brought to you by the good folks over at Alora Modern Wellness. Make your New Year's resolution to be kinder to yourself. If you're working out hard, if you're trying to lose weight, if that was your New Year's resolution, recovery is still a big part of that process. Your body has to be able to heal. You have to keep yourself in good shape, both mentally, physically. You've got to do that through the process of recovery, and that's where Alora Modern Wellness comes in. And a great number of services geared to help you feel better. Call them at 662-268-9255, or you can visit them online at aloramodernwellness.com. You can book all of your services, all of your appointments right there online. aloramodernwellness.com brings you this interview with Connor O'Neill of Deacons Illustrated. The last opponent preview of the 2025 season, but the first opponent preview of 2026 falls to Wake Forest and Connor O'Neill of Deacons Illustrated, part of the On3 network. And Connor, as a guy who's watched a lot of SEC football over the last few years, I had thought the ship had sailed on Robbie Ashford ever being any kind of quarterback. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I watched him play. I was like, gosh, if he would just move to receiver or something, he could be a star. He's such a great athlete. They finally cracked the code for him at Wake Forest. How did they do it?
Oof. They've put him in the right positions, right? Like they've used him as a runner. They've not been the greatest offense in the world, even in the ACC, but they've at least they gave him enough weapons. I say that in light of the 12 games that were this season and not the bowl game, because two of those big weapons are going to be missing for Wake. But they've done a lot of work with Robbie, and it paid off. Watching fall camp practices, it was the lean was Robbie, and it was more because he was the safer pick. He was the one that didn't turn the ball over seemingly once every 5 to 10 throws like DeShone Purdy does. And ball security has been a little bit of an issue at times with Robbie, but not anywhere close to where it's lost Wake games. So they've done a good job with him. I would also say, I mean, there's something to be said for a guy who's in his sixth year as a quarterback is going to be better than he was in the first five.
Yeah.
Right. Like he has learned, he has grown. He's definitely not the same person and not the same quarterback that he had been at Auburn and at South Carolina.
And then you just kind of hit on it there. Some big pieces missing for Wake Forest in this one. Demond Claiborne has opted out as a result of going into the NFL draft. Chris Barnes has opted out just to hit the transfer portal. Who has to step into their roles for the Demon Deacons?
Yeah, to start with Barnes' role, it'll be Carlos Hernandez as the, I think, main target for Robbie. And that's a little bit of a natural progression because, you know, the stats line up and they tell the 12-game story and say that they were like 10 yards different in receiving yards this year. Carlos Hernandez had like 390 yards in the last three games. He really came on strong. He had a rough first 2 months. Confidence was a big issue, both as a receiver and as a punt returner. And then he scored the only touchdown of the game when Wake won at Virginia. It was an 88-yard punt return. And that kind of catapulted him over the last few weeks of the season. So he's going to be the big piece in the receiving game. Chris Barnes is going to be a hell of a guy to miss, though. Like, he was electric. They would try to get him on the jet sweeps and the pop passes, motioning into the backfield, that type of thing. And he's just dynamic, a threat to score every time he touched the ball. Running back is a little bit different. They basically played a game without Demond Claiborne already this year. He played about 3 or 4 snaps in the opener against a Kennesaw State team that was a lot better than any of us realized at the time. I don't think anybody watched that one and thought the Owls would be I think the bowl game gave them 10 wins this year.
Mm-hmm.
But Wake scored 10 points in that game, and it was a whole lot of 2 and 3 yard Robbie Ashford direct snap keepers and one big explosive play that got Wake a field goal that gave him a 10-9 win. And I think Kennesaw State missed an extra point or had one blocked that was also the difference in the game. So Wake's offense without Demond Claiborne is going to be something to watch. I mean, he's been the most important player on Wake's offense for the last 2 seasons. I think 95% of the teams in the country would tell you the quarterback is the most important part of the offense. Demond Claiborne has been the most important player for Wake's offense these last 2 years, and they're going to miss the hell out of him. Ty Clark is a capable running back. He was decent as a backup this year. He had some big plays. Demond missed the second half in a win at Virginia Tech in, I think it was early October. He had some big plays down the stretch, but he's not the type of home run threat that Demond was, again, every time he touched the ball. I mean, these are two guys that anytime you put the ball in their hands, they were a threat to go create an explosive play. And that's just Carlos Hernandez might have a little bit of that, but I don't see that with Ty Clark. They'll get Jamario Clements in there. He's a transfer from a lower level. He had some carries early in the season and kind of lost ground in the running back pecking order. And then Jamar Searcy is a little bowling ball of a freshman running back that'll probably get some run too.
It's interesting looking at Wake defensively, and this is a team with 25 sacks on the year. That's a pretty good number. But nobody, there's not just one guy in there that's, you know, a 7-8 sack guy. Mississippi State, a lot of sacks on the year they've given up, but that was with Blake Shapen behind center. Now Kamario Taylor, a much different animal back there. What success has Wake had this year with quarterbacks who were able to run the football?
So I go all the way back to the Georgia Tech game, and I look at what Haynes King did, because you look at Wake's schedule. I mean, Gio Lopez was a really mobile quarterback, but that Carolina offense was a bit of a disaster all year. That's really, I have trouble judging what Wake did against Carolina's offense. Other than that, I mean, you look at Kevin Jennings and who he's been in college. He did not have a lot of rushing yards against Wake Forest, but Kevin Jennings was playing hurt most of the year, and I think he was very reticent to run the ball this year. So it's hard to put a lot of stock in what Wake did to limit his running in that late October win. So again, like I said, go back to what Wake looked like against Haynes King. He had over 100 yards rushing, but it was an overtime game, and I think he only averaged about, I think, high fours or maybe 5 yards a carry in that one. And Haynes King ran against everybody. I mean, he was, I think he finished top five in the ACC for rushing yards, and he was the best quarterback in the league. So
Feels like,
it's good.
yeah, I was gonna say, feels like this Wake Forest defense is, there are just so many guys to keep an eye on. Like I said, there's not that one guy that you can just circle and say, hey, if you can eliminate him. If there is a guy on that, on this defense, who is that guy?
I think if you're talking about the defensive line, you probably want to make sure Langston Hardy is blocked first and foremost. He's been the most disruptive edge rusher they have. But Gabe Kirschke's been really good too, and Gabe Kirschke played the first half of the season with a hand injury and played with a hard cast and a club on one of his hands. And so he was a lot healthier in the second half and was more productive because of that. The heartbeat of Wake's defense is Nick Anderson at safety. I mean, he's the sixth-year guy. He's played a ton of football. I think he's going to finish his career in the top 10 of tackles for Wake Forest all time. And that's, I always think that's more impressive today because they don't track tackles the same way that they did, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And teams throw the ball more. It's harder to rack up 120, 150 tackles in a season. And so he's the one that runs the alley. He is still a little bit of a liability in coverage, but he will make plays when it matters, when it counts. He had a PBU on the last play of the game against Virginia Tech in his home state. It's always been a big talking point with Nick. He came to Wake Forest as a preferred walk-on from Virginia because the Virginia schools kind of didn't want him or didn't think he was good enough, and he's an all-ACC safety. And so that's the one guy that if he's able to impact this game, it's going to mean a lot for Wake's sideline. It's going to mean a lot for kind of the overall vibe of Wake's defense.
One thing we do on this podcast when we do the when we do our previews is we have an X factor, not necessarily a guy who's going to be the offensive player of the game or the defensive player game, just a guy who might make a play or two that makes a huge difference. Who could that guy be for Wake Forest?
I'm racking them. I'm rolling through the roster and rolling through the depth chart. The default in my mind would be the tight end, Any Fly. He's a great story. He played at UMass and played at Utah Tech and had a combined 6 wins in his first 4 seasons of college football, coming from awful programs. And he's thrilled, obviously, to win 8 games this year. He's a legitimate, like, NFL prospect at tight end. I don't know that he's going to be a draft pick, but he's a big-bodied 6'4", 230, 240-pound tight end that can get out and roll. And especially without Chris Barnes, without another receiver who's entering the transfer portal, Micah Mays is also not playing in this game. They're going to need some guys to step up and catch the football. And I would think Any Fly, he had an ankle injury that hobbled him a little bit in November. I would assume a month later he's not dealing with the same type of thing. Like, that should be all healed up and ready to go. And I would think getting him out in space, getting him over the middle would be a pretty big boost.
We'll see what happens on Friday. We'll see who gets dumped with mayonnaise. You're a mayonnaise fan? I am not.
No, I've told everybody that if I was Jake Dickert, I would go into the staff meeting and say, "All right, who is volunteering for a $10,000 raise?"
I asked Levy the same. He said, I don't like mayonnaise, but I've never been more excited to have it dumped on me. So we'll see how it all turns out. Connor O'Neill, Deacon's Illustrated. Appreciate your time, man. Happy New Year to you.
Thanks, Brian. Happy New Year to you too.
All right, thanks to Connor for his time. Appreciate him. Let's move into playmakers and predictions. It's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food. This New Year's, make it a smoky Southern soul food laden New Year's. Make a trip to Two Brothers as often as you can. And of course, the older brother, also in the Cotton District, the home of the fancy sandwich. Doesn't matter what you're hungry for at lunch. They've got you covered at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother. Robbie Falk and I like to eat there, and you will too. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for over 50 years.
50, brother.
The little add-on of brother there got me.
Brother.
Brother. If you need technology for your business, call Advantage Business Systems today. You need a new copier, a new printer, new laptops, new computers. Give them a call. Let them take care of you, and let them take care of you long beyond the first time you meet them. They'll sell you the product, great, but they're also there for you long after. When something goes wrong, you can call Advantage Business Systems and get the guarantee of quick and fast and friendly service after the sale. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. If you're looking for great Mississippi State gear here in the city of Starkville, no one with a bigger or better selection than my friends over at Maroon & Co. Everything maroon and white, including all of the M over S gear you need to get ready for this upcoming baseball season. Opening day will be here before you know it, guys. Don't be left out in the cold. Get a brand new M over S hoodie, sweatshirt, or pullover at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 in-store or online at marooncode.com. Before the first pitch, you need to get to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo is the John Deere capital of North Mississippi. If you are looking for a brand new John Deere commercial mower, compact tractor, or gator, they've got them at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, and they've got great deals and great financing available as well. Whatever it is you're looking for at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, I'm almost positive. I'd bet my bottom dollar. I bet the family dog that they've got it there at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Please do not come try to collect any of my pets. I don't actually own a dog, but I don't want you to take any of my cats either if they don't have it. No guarantees were made. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden.
May I interest you in a wallaby?
If you have a wallaby, they can keep you stocked up on food at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden.
Yes.
If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, you need to know the name Good Hope Land and Timber. If you're trying to make decisions about your land, if you're trying to talk to somebody about, what you can have going on your land, Good Hope Land and Timber has an expert team that will help you provide smart, sustainable, and profitable decisions. If you're in the market right now to buy or sell land, Good Hope Land and Timber can certainly help you with that and get you set up with that plot of land that you want to build, that dream house, that hunting camp, whatever it is, it's right there for you at Good Hope Land and Timber. Locally trusted, landowner approved. Call my friends at Good Hope Land and Timber. Playmaker time, Robbie Faulk. Who do you think? I wonder who you're going to take on the offensive side of the ball.
Kamario. 100%.
Yes.
This is.
I'll go and tell you, we're about five more games from me saying you got to pick somebody else.
Yeah, but for now, this is the beginning of the Kamario Taylor era. And there's not a better time for him to really come out here and have a monster performance. The portal opens the next day. This is an opportunity for Mississippi State to really, really, really sell the future of the program right here. And I think a big game for Kamario Taylor, a win for Mississippi State, and you're really moving in the right direction. It would have been – it's already a really good thing that you're able to play in this game.
Mm-hmm.
But getting a bowl game, getting the full month of preparation for Taylor and a lot of the teammates and winning it, that would be a godsend for Mississippi State for 2026.
Mm-hmm.
This is an opportunity here for – and I think Kamario is going to play really well.
Mm-hmm.
But State's got to find a way here, and Kamario, I think, is – this is a game for him to really come out on the big stage. He was on ABC for the Egg Bowl. A lot of people saw him. This is another chance here,
mm-hmm.
prime time on the day after New Year's, for him to have a really big game and push Mississippi State forward into 2026.
All right, just for the sake of argument, I'm going to go somewhere else on this one.
Yes.
Last game is a Bulldog. Brennan Thompson is going to be my guy here. I think the whole month of having – of all the reps, getting all the practice reps as the number one quarterback is going to do wonders for Kamario and his improvement as a passer. And I think Brennan Thompson will be the guy who benefits the most from that. There's just not anybody on Wake Forest secondary that has the speed to contend with him down the field. If State can protect Kamario, great. But if they can't, he's the guy who can roll out the things we were talking about with Ashford. If he can roll out and find some guys on broken plays down the field, Thompson's going to get. I think Thompson has a monster game here. I'm talking 7-8 catches, well over 100 yards, and probably a score. He will be a 1,000-yard receiver when this game is over with. Brennan Thompson is my offensive playmaker. What about defensively for you, Robbie?
My defensive playmaker, I'm going with Tyler Lockhart.
Like it.
This is a guy that you look at the back half of the season, this is when he's really kind of gotten his playing time and come out as a player. He's a freshman. By the end of the year, he was no longer a freshman anymore. He looks like he's comfortable in there. You're going to need your linebackers to make big plays in this ball game, and I think that he is going to be one of the guys there that really emerges. He's announced he's coming back for next year. Just like Kamario, this is a guy you can kind of build around on the defense and is really exciting young player, freshman All-SEC. I think Tyler Lockhart has a big game to close out the year.
Man, if State gets a big game out of Taylor and Lockhart, there's going to be a lot of
Fluff
wool.
Bothwell.
The wool will be growing pretty quick on Mississippi State's chances for 2026. I'm going to go – I'm going to make it easy. You took Kamario Taylor on offense. I'm going to make it easy on defense. I'm going to go with Kelly Jones. I think they'll try him at least once, and he'll make them pay. I'm calling Kelly Jones interception in this game. What a revelation he's been this year. I knew he had a chance to be good. I knew because of his physical tools that if he was good, it was going to be – there would be a lot of buzz. Just not a lot of guys built like him. And, man, he has delivered. And, you know, hopefully back for another season. That hasn't been confirmed, although I think State feels confident. They feel, or at least they feel optimistic that he'll be back for one more year in maroon and white, and that's going to be a big key. And you talk about a defense that when you have an elite corner – and Martin Emerson and Emmanuel Forbes will be the first ones to tell you that this defense can really make you look good out there. Looking forward to that next season. Kelly Jones is my defensive playmaker. Who is the X factor?
I'm going to go with Xavier Gayton.
I'm
kind of staying on a trend here of these young players that look to be going upwards. And I think people have kind of – there's some people that have thrown him out a little too early.
Mm-hmm.
This is – a guy that is the most talented running back in that room, mm-hmm. I think. The size, the ability to escalate the way that he does. You know, I think that he's got the tools to be really good in this league and probably going to be your number two guy next year unless they go to the portal and get somebody. I think he has a big play in this game. He breaks loose and he has a big play for a home run, a touchdown, or a big run that is a first down run or something like that. I think he makes a big play that helps State win this game. So I'm going to go Xavier Gayton for my X factor.
I like that. I think for me, State, if State wins, it's because defensively they found extra plays somewhere. So I'm going to go with I think I'm going to go Malik Sylla on this one. Need to be able to pressure. Need to be able to get after Robbie Ashford. Sylla could be a big piece of that. His final game as a Bulldog. Let's get it. Let's get him on the board with a sack in this one. You know, like I said, if State's going to win, it's going to be by pressuring Robbie Ashford, keeping him in the pocket, not allowing him to work his way outside, and Sylla will be a big part of that. I'll go with Malik Sylla for my my playmaker. Last one of the year. What do you got?
I'm going to side with State here. I mean, they struggled to win games this season, but outside of SEC play, this was a really good team. So you're not playing an SEC team. I think they pressed a lot when they went into those SEC ball games. They put a little more loose in these games against non-conference competition. I think just simply playing a team from another conference will bode well for this team. And you have so much excitement around this game with the players. They're just pumped to be able to play another game. You have Kamario Taylor in there, a lot of young guys that are ready for the future that haven't really been able to dwell on State's struggles the last couple of years. I think State wins this game. I could be totally wrong on my feel for this game, but I just feel like they're prepared for it. They're going to be ready to roll, and they're going to win this game. So I'm going to say State wins this 31 to, let's say, 27.
All right. Yeah.
A little bit of a shootout. Not.
You made a good point in that State was 4-0 this year in non-conference play. Easily beat Southern Mississippi, easily beat Northern Illinois, easily beat Alcorn, and then was able to beat a good Arizona State football team. There's no reason to think they can't. Physically, they shouldn't be able to win this game. I do think it'll be a shootout, and I think having the better quarterback is going to play a big role in that. And State has the better quarterback between Taylor and Ashford. I know Ashford has the experience, but Taylor has the higher ceiling and more talent. So I do think it's going to be in the 30s because State's defense still isn't good. I'm going to go 38-31. Mississippi State gets the win in this one. Finish the season 6-7. And as much excitement as you can have going into next season, I think State will have that when we open up shop on January 3rd. Next week is all about the portal. Well, I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about as far as that goes. Plus, basketball will recap Mississippi State's win or loss. Did I predict something? I don't know. Over the Texas Longhorns. We'll talk about that game next week as well. Talk to you guys then. Hope you're having a great start to your new year, and we'll be back with you very soon. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Mississippi Media Production.